Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Well, Bark Radio listeners, you are in for a big treat today. We have got a fabulous guest. Terry, I'll let you do the introductions.
We have Sherry Woodard from Best Friends Animal Society. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you very much.
Well, Sherry, I think most folks, at least that listen to us, know who Best Friends are. But for those that don't, the one or two stragglers, can you tell the folks about a little bit about Best Friends?
Oh, boy. Best Friends Animal Society is a, how do we describe it, a huge now organization with a membership of over 250,000 people and outreach programs across the country and some around the world. The work we're doing is something that everyone can come and see and be a part of. We have a sanctuary in southern Utah, in Kanab. And here at the sanctuary where I am, there are hundreds and hundreds of animals that volunteers come in and help us care for. And the animals, don't be put off by the word sanctuary, the animals are here getting ready to go home. And our goal is for as many of them as possible to go home so we can help more.
That's awesome. And the programs that you guys have out there are phenomenal. I mean, I know that folks can come and visit and actually help out, volunteer there, and do overnights with the pets. But one of the really neat things that I found out about at this year's No More Homeless Pets conference was that you're doing a search and rescue service dog program with the shelter dogs. And Dee and I are both amazingly passionate about that, and we'd love to hear about what you're doing.
Great. Well, it started in May 2009, and actually kind of kicked off with a bang because I was filming at the time with the National Geographic Channel. So we were able to follow the first dog and follow me running around the country meeting people and learning what I would need to do to find these dogs and to screen them and ultimately to train them and then put them in the hands of experienced handlers and get them to work. It's been incredible. The search and rescue portion took off first, and I placed, let's see, the first seven dogs are all search and rescue, and they're all over the country, which is very exciting as well. and then two service dogs, one is in his home and the other is with me, but we already have the home, and now we're working through the details of the placement and making sure that his handler will be ready and be able to practice every day.
Well, you know, as Terry was saying, we're all over the concept of taking shelter dogs and, you know, as you said, hand-picking the right dogs for jobs. It's such a fabulous thing to do, and we have so many dogs who need jobs, not just homes. So
absolutely. There are great dogs out there. And it's teaching people across the country that this is something, again, we can all be involved with. As volunteers at shelters, people could help us find these dogs and identify them. As dog trainers, we can help to get the training on the dogs that will help them to succeed. I think there are still some huge myths that shelter dogs aren't as good as other dogs, and it isn't true at all. I think that we're going to be able to prove huge success by doing this dog program. And so far, with every dog that has been placed, I'm on dog number 9, and currently I have a 100% success rate. Every dog is succeeding. Every dog is doing extremely well, which I think if we talk around the country, which I've been doing, I'm finding that a lot of programs that are still running breeding programs and trying to create the best dogs are having about a 50% success rate. So I think we can save more lives. We just need to work together as a big team.
I think you're absolutely right, and your percentages on that are correct. I train service dogs, and I'm familiar with some of the big organizations, and the washout rate is sad. And
yes.
For you to be able to, and it's always my goal, I want 100% as well. You know,
anytime we can have it, yes.
Yes. And so, you know, you go, girl. This is so fabulous, and it will be repeated and repeated, I'm sure, as you have more and more success around the country and around the world. I have a quick question about the two service dogs.
Okay.
What kind of service dogs are they?
Well, dog number one in service, his name is Toby, and we had looked at him and thought that he was probably a hound mix. He is just about a year old now, so he was under a year, and I chose him based on, during screening, loving his energy. Super sweet, super sensitive, wanted to play, wanted to retrieve, but also wanted to nap, which I thought that's what we need. We need dogs that love everyone and love everything, but are also relaxed enough that they could go everywhere and they could just hang out with a person and relax. His person is in a wheelchair in New Mexico, and she's young. And immediately what I wanted was for them to have the best life possible and really for her to enjoy it more because she has him. And that has been an incredible success. She's doing more. She's getting out. She told me he gives her a reason to get up every morning and get in that chair.
Bingo.
That's awesome.
Bingo.
That is awesome. Yes.
You know, they do so many things we can't even identify. You know,
absolutely.
Dogs are the most incredible partners for human beings. And that is such a fabulous match. So how
yes.
much does this dog weigh?
He is probably under 50 pounds. So he's not a big dog. One of the things that he does do is he climbs on top of her if her blood pressure gets too high to indicate that she needs to take her meds. He's a very
good
gentle guy. Yes. Now, what he helps her with her wheelchair, but he isn't big enough and strong enough to entirely pull her weight. But it's also good for her to be exercising her arms. So I think it's a perfect match.
Oh, man, that is absolutely fabulous.
So cool.
His retrieve has now gotten to the point where she said one day he was sleeping on the couch and she dropped the pill bottle and she called and woke him up. And he kind of shook off his sleep and trotted across the room and grabbed her pills and handed them to her. It couldn't be better. It's been amazing to not only be a part of his training but to also be so thrilled to be part of the follow-up story, which we'll get to now be a part of for his entire life.
Isn't that just, it's the most warm and fuzzy thing you could possibly do in life is watch that happen, and it is magic.
Yes, yes. Now, the second service dog, who is still with me, he is going to be helping with mobility. His handler, also extremely young, she's only 22, and she has permanent back damage, permanent damage to one of her legs, and she was born with a really bad heart, so she's living on a pacemaker. He's an amazing dog again. He just turned a year old in August, and he has that great energy where he wants to retrieve. He wants to get out and be a little active, but he's also really just a laid-back, relaxed guy. We've practiced going in planes. We've practiced numerous restaurants and malls, and he's just amazing. It's as though they truly tell you, I can do this. I was meant to do this. I can not only give her an amazing life, but I can have a great life as well.
And they thank you for recognizing it in them.
I think so. I think that it really, when we spend time with each one of these dogs, we see that it is a perfect fit. And I want them to love it. If during the screening process I see that a dog doesn't seem to be truly enjoying the work, that means that they're meant for something else.
Right. And I think, you know, you've hit on it, Sherry. Humans being able to recognize what each individual dog is meant for. If we
yes.
can do that, they can have great lives.
Yes, absolutely. And I think also with the service dogs, I think there's still a big myth out there that the dogs need to be certified, so we as individuals can't help. That isn't true. The ADA states that the actual law is that people can train their own dogs. We need to help them. People can go and choose the wrong dog, and then it's going to be much harder for them to have appropriate behavior. So I think as dog people, as dog trainers, as volunteers with shelters and rescue groups, we can help the disabled to find the right dog, to train the right dog, and to have the best partner for life.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just a win-win. It is.
Yes.
I'm not only amazed at the high percentage rate of success that you're having, but just the volume of dogs. You said you started this in 2009, so has it's been between, what, 18 and 24 months?
Yes. And I wanted to start it slow and be very careful to get it right because I was learning. I'm still learning. I ran each one of the dogs through my home so that I would have that very personal connection. And we're on dog number 9. So I think it's been incredible. And now it's time to get out there and tell the world. It's clearly possible. We need to build a bigger team and save more lives.
Well, how are you going about telling that? How are you getting the word out? Because, like I said, I didn't know till this year's conference, and that's awesome.
Yes. Well, I just got back from Atlanta, where I was at a conference, and there were over 1,000 people there as well, and spoke about it, and also have been traveling and speaking. I'll be going next week to Salt Lake City, where they are starting to put together a program where dogs will be placed with veterans. And their goal for their first year is 30 dogs in the year. And I hope to be a part of that and support them and build it out. If we could do it really well with their program, then we could show their program to other shelters across the country and get more people to see how it can be done and how it can easily be organized so that the veterans are a part of it. I think that beyond the veterans, their long-term goals are going to include autistic children and anyone with severe anxiety that would benefit from having a service dog.
I think that the whole realm of psych dogs, which includes people with PTSD and anxiety disorders, it's such a huge gap that needs to be filled.
Yes.
Dogs are so much better than pharmaceuticals.
Amen.
And, you know, we'll never have enough of them, but you're on a road that's going to allow in this country hundreds and ultimately thousands of dogs to be placed once you get more people on board, you know, out there in those rescues, that this is viable.
And, absolutely.
And why wouldn't they want to do it?
Oh, no, I think people will find that it's extremely rewarding to be any piece along the way, you know, to be the volunteer who goes in and says, ooh, I think this would be a good dog, or to be the dog trainer who says, well, I've never done it before, but I'll try. And we want everyone to know that we're going to be here to support them. I will travel. I will help people to figure it out. I'm writing resources. I've already written a guide for selection of search and rescue candidate dogs and now writing the manual to train them. And also I've started the piece on how to select service dogs. So I think we'll have the information out there and we can help people to get it right so that we're saving more lives across the country and around the world.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You guys rock.
Well, thank you. We need the help, as you can tell, to get the word out. So I think you rock.
We'll do our best, man.
Yeah. Well, Dee and I are both big supporters of the veterans, and we've talked a lot about them needing service dogs, and I think this program is something
absolutely
spot on. It is exactly what we had in mind. So that's awesome. We'll be playing along.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll push it out there at every chance we get,
yep.
Sherry.
Yep.
Now, I have to go a different direction just for a second. The search and rescue part.
Yes.
So tell me what your SAR dogs, what their specialty is, because there's so many different versions of search and rescue.
Oh, absolutely. What I'm doing with every dog is starting them out on AirScent Live Find and a combination of wilderness and urban so that from there, when they go to their handlers, they have all the groundwork to know that search is a game, to know that interaction is what is critical to make it work. And then from there, people can do whatever they want. So with the dogs we've placed so far, we have some that are on FEMA teams, which is urban. We have some that are on wilderness teams, and two have been placed with police officers, and they're undecided as to how far they're going to take it, if they're going to focus on one thing or if they're going to have the dogs multitask. I think it's very interesting, but I like the fact that everyone stays open, and they kind of let the dogs take the lead. They try different things and see what the dogs really want to do.
And that is brilliant. If we all did that in life with dogs, we would get so much further, so much faster because, you know, one dog may be a great cadaver dog, one dog may be a great rubble dog, you know, for urban. Who knows? But absolutely, if they can just focus and watch the dogs and let them.
I agree. What motivates them? What is their passion? Because each one of them can tell us.
Because then, when they do that, that dog will work until they drop.
Yes. It is. I live with one.
World.
Yeah, I have one that throughout the day she's like, can we go work now? Can we go work? because we keep
now?
It fun. It's like, can we go have some people get lost? I would love to find them.
And if nobody will get lost, you know, could you just have somebody pretend they're lost for me? Please, please, and make it harder this time.
That's right. Yes.
Well, tell me what piece of this. You've obviously learned lots of new things since you started this program. What's your favorite thing that you didn't know how to train before and that you know how to train now?
Well, what immediately came to mind was, instead of my favorite, my least favorite. I have forever had dogs in my life, and I actually live in Dogtown with my neighbors or hundreds of dogs. And my least favorite thing that I have to train is the bark alert, because we spend so much time getting dogs to be quiet and wanting them to be even quieter so that they succeed in pet homes. And here I am building these barks so that these dogs just don't stop. They bark and bark and bark. So that comes to mind right away. For my actual favorite, I think there's a little switch that goes off in the dogs when we get to the point where they know the game. And I think that would be my favorite, is you see them start to anticipate, and when they truly have an understanding of what we're doing, when we're going out to work, you could put a chicken strip in front of their face and they're not going to eat it because they're so excited about the fact that we're going out to work. We're going out to play our search game. And like you said, I keep building it and making it more and more difficult and seeing that they love the challenge. They want to do more.
Oh, they do. And those, what you just described, I just love watching a search and rescue dog when you say whatever their magic word is. In my case, it was find.
Yes.
And they just go berserk. It's like, okay, it's on, man.
Yes. It's incredible. I think the partnerships between the people and their handlers, traveling the country and seeing the bond and the amount of love and respect that goes both ways.
I'll tell you what, I did. I was asked for a quote for a book that a lady wrote about working dogs, and the thing that came to mind immediately for me is that you just kind of passed over it now, and that's the moment in time when a canine handler and their dog both realize they're partners and that they rely on each other, and it is so incredible. It's just, I swear to you, I had it with my SAR dog. We looked at each other one day, and I went, it's on, man. We've got it. She was about a year old, you know, this wild and crazy Labrador retriever.
Oh.
And we just knew. We both knew we could rely on each other from that moment forward. It's so wonderful.
It is. It's very special.
Mm-hmm.
I think when some people in the public are concerned, you know, they're working dogs. What does that mean? Do they have a different life? Well, if anything, for me, they get more interaction than pet dogs do. The focus that we put on each other is incredible. And the bond, I think, is, it couldn't be stronger. It is so amazing.
I think that's so true, Sherry, because until a person has had a canine partner, they really don't know what you're talking about.
That's right.
And the bond is huge. Now I do therapy dog work. My therapy dog is my best buddy. You know, and,
yes.
You know, I get the leash, and we go into a facility. We were just at the VA hospital yesterday, and I swear to you, he walks in that door strutting, going, okay, can we just go to every room this time, Mom?
Oh.
You know?
And
so,
what incredible work that is as well, how many people you can touch with one visit.
It's so huge. All this dog stuff is so incredible. I love what you're doing, Sherry.
Yeah, I do too.
Thank you. I do too. I feel so lucky to be able to do this and to be able to share it across the country, to be able to know that I can now speak with confidence that it can be done and the benefits are amazing. These dogs that are sitting in shelters, that are homeless, they can not only go home, but they can have some of the most incredible lives.
It just gives me chills.
I know, it does.
Okay, so Sherry, one thing is, where can folks go online to learn more about what y'all are doing?
Oh, Best Friends, so www.bestfriends.org, and then onto our network site. There's a button on the main page, and there is a search and service group site where people can join so they can see what's new. And we write about each dog. We post photos about what's going on.
Cool.
That's very cool. And for folks who want to come out there, there's information on the site as well. And if they
absolutely. We're also on Facebook. They could find us all over.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us today, Sherry. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. This is very important. Thanks.